Blog Talk Radio.
So one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this old world's gonna reel and rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
Just a slob like one of
before the Pope may be in Rome.
Good afternoon and welcome to Unseen Realms. This is Jennifer Snell and episode 56, The World of Indigos. And here is my co-host.
Hi, this is Grace Anglade, and we welcome you tonight to The World of Indigos. Let me see. Today is a, what's today, seven? It's seven, it's a seven, wait, nine day. Today's a nine day. Anyway, so yeah, welcome to The World of Indigos. Trying to be focused here, and I'm like, oh my God, it's 9 day, oh, here we go. Anyway, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of indigos out there that are online and parents of indigos that are going, my child farts blue, I don't know how to deal with it. So, meaning, you know, they're so indigo they fart blue. That came from a friend of mine, by the way. Helen put that out there. So we're talking about indigos tonight, and let me see. I'm sure a lot of people on this call are indigos. Probably everyone's an indigo, or somebody has a child that's an indigo. So Jennifer put up about this Ascension Glossary. A lot of the stuff is I'm going to take it out of the Ascension Glossary because I think it's pretty interesting. It's about the types of indigos. Now, what is an indigo? Indigo is a six-dimensional frequency band of consciousness, which is the sixth chakra and its brain complex. These are what the bandwidth that these people are vibrating at. So indigos are born with an active six DNA strand that gives them the indigo color spectrum of frequency in their auric fields. All right, so they've been sent down here as guardians, and to help with the ascension process. And indigos are not like anybody you're ever going to find in your life. I mean, they're just not. They have a collective purpose. And indigo scouts came in. They said they came in the 50s. I think they've come in earlier. And indigo, yeah. If you're an indigo, you know the signs and symptoms of it. You always feel like you have this soul mission, and you quite don't know why you're here. It's kind of like, I have this soul mission. I need to fill my soul mission. I don't know what my soul mission is. But there's this feeling of never being relaxed in your skin, never being able to relax totally because you know that there's a soul mission there. Another thing is that everything you see, it's like, why does the world have to be like this? Why are there so many injustices? Why does the educational system have to be like this? Why is there such poverty? Why are we allowing all for the war and the killing and all that stuff? They're not really, that just goes against their grain. They don't understand, and they're trying to right the wrongs that are happening in the world. Let me see, they have a collective purpose. And being an indigo is a soul purpose. Indigos are hard on themselves, and they can be hard on people around them. They can be very difficult on people around them. They have a lot of wisdom. You look at this child and you think, oh, my God, that's a lot of wisdom coming out of a little body, or older. You know, they just seem very, very wise. Let me see. What else? Can you add anything else into this?
Yes.
Go ahead, add.
Okay. So the first thing I want to talk about is indigos carry what's called the Codex of Truth. So I was told this by a spirit guide, Malachi, that I had many, many years ago. My first teacher, Catherine Bell, told me this information through her channelings of Malachi. Malachi said that indigos carry the Codex of Truth, which is basically we carry the templates from God, okay, into the locations that we go to. So, for example, my soul mission as an indigo was to be a system buster. So I worked for pretty much all the major corporations in America. I worked for AT&T, I worked for Cisco, I worked for Wall Street, I worked for Verizon, I worked for Blue Cross, I worked for Aetna. I mean, it just went on and on. And every every couple of years I was in consulting and IT, and they would move me to another location. And it was really weird because I started to notice a pattern when I look back on my careers that a lot of the companies I worked at would change after I left. They would either go bankrupt, they would merge, they would trivestiture, like AT&T trivestitured when I left. Let's see, Bear Stearns, the company I worked for on Wall Street, actually imploded in 2008. It was the only one not bailed out by the government. So basically, the Codex of Truth, that we lay the template and the codes in the structure. And then if the structure does not adhere to God's laws, basically of, you know, truth, honor, and justice, it's not going to survive. It's not going to survive. And that's what happened in a lot of these places. And I always laugh when I leave somewhere and I say to my friends, ooh, let's wait and see what happens.
And you didn't have to do anything.
Well, just like last year, I worked for Wells Fargo for 3 months and, you know, it had the biggest scandal of all time.
Remember that?
That whole thing? St. Germain said, yep. The Indigos are taking it down, you know, they're going to make the company revisit its whole practice of sales and all that. So, the other thing I wanted to mention here is that, the same teacher told me a story that her son was an Indigo and he came in and he changed his mind. He said, I'm not going to do that. So there, you know, it's a very challenging soul mission. And honestly, a lot of Indigos can also turn to the negative polarity. Did you know this? Have you heard this before?
Yeah, I know this. I know.
Yeah.
It is a very challenging soul.
It's bad because Indigos are so empathic. A lot of times, if we don't find the right tools that we need, like salt and clearing and protection, we can get overtaken by dark forces, and that happens sometimes. Not very often, but it has happened, I know, in the past.
And we're also
connected to Archangel Michael's
in charge of the Indigos. And once you're an Indigo, you can eventually evolve into a crystal or something else. But Indigos are not... They're here to move the paradigm. They're here to move the structure. And they do it several ways. They do it, you know, just rebelling, or they do it with the codexes, like you're talking about. They can just walk in there. I'm an activator. I walk into people's lives. And you know how you say you do this with with structures? I do this with people. I'm like, I'm in their life for about, you know, 6 months, and all of a sudden I'm going, oh, that looks so painful. But then it turns out best. It's like the tarot card. Then it turns out the best at the end. Or, you know, we just don't, you know, talk to each other. But I'm what's called an activator. So the thing with Indigos is you're not quite sure what you're supposed to be doing. They say that they have attention deficit and they don't want to listen. I mean, it's very hard to get an Indigo. You can't discipline an Indigo. Try. It doesn't happen. I mean, you can take away their stuff. You can discipline them. You can say, do it because I said so. Yeah, that doesn't work either. You know, you have to reason
really
with them. And you have to show them. And if they're under a false idea, it's very difficult to get them out of that false idea. You know, that's very, very difficult to get them out of there.
Now, there's another thing that I want to mention here as well about Indigos is we have a really strong BS detector. So because we're all about truth and honesty, a lot of Indigos, and this is something that I know was always the case, I would just blurt out anything. And, of course, as we grew up, we had to put some filters on, right, because we didn't want to be rude to people. But we have a very strong BS detector. We know when people are lying. We do not lie as a rule. I'll say that Indigos do not lie. Now I'm not talking about white lying. Okay. White lying, that's one thing. Okay. You know, you're trying to save somebody's feelings. That's one thing. But in general, Indigos are all about, they want the truth. They want the truth, no matter how dark it is sometimes. We want the truth. We're here to get to the truth, to the core, to the root. And, you know, this planet has just really evolved into a planet of secrets and lies and deceit, deception. And, of course, knowledge is light. Knowledge is truth. So we're here literally to bring the light into the planet. And that's why a lot of these systems are falling and failing. And this darkness is rising to the top because we've created these grids now between us. And we're bringing this darkness to the light. And that's really
right. The
truth. That's the truth.
Well, there are a couple types of indigos because, like, we've done our whole indigo thing. But there's a couple different types of indigos. And this is on that ascension energy, you know, that ascension energy thing. First type of indigo works with large matrices of planetary energy fields called ley lines. Now, ley lines, you know, this is like the grid that goes over the Earth. It's kind of you can find it with, let me see, divining rods. And you, by the way, you don't need to spend a lot of money on divining rods. You can make them out of straws and hangers. You know, they're easy, very easy to make. I'm sure it's on YouTube. So anyway, you go through and you ley lines, you get yourself centered, you're connecting with your divining rods. And you start walking with the intention of finding these ley lines. And all of a sudden, your rods will be pointing straight ahead, and then they'll cross. And then they'll come back out. As soon as you pass through a ley line, it'll point straight ahead, and then they'll cross again. And then so you can find the ley lines using divining rods. Or using pendulums. So ley lines have axiatonal line points and are comprised of a global energy matrix field for the planetary life force. It's basically the same thing as our meridians, I guess. These ley lines are just like our meridians. And this is a web work of energy by which scalar wave frequencies of the core planetary grid is directed into use for the planet. So scalar wave frequencies get into the planet. It's able to go in through these ley lines. A lot of things can get in through the ley lines. these energies are also translated into various planetary chakras and other vortices which hold various levels of planetary life force. Like if you have a vortex, I think we talked about vortexes before, centers of educational learning like Princeton and any of the major universities, big towns, they have very strong vortices on them. So these certain type of indigos can work with these ley lines. Ley lines are also a transmission point to receive and store stellar activations of frequency and anchor those transmissions into the planetary ley lines. All right? So these indigos can transmit energy frequency. They can transmit energy frequency or light codes. And to further rebalance certain planet vortices or key points in the planetary grid. So they can actually work with that. They will be led to hold groups. Well, that's kind of what you're doing, to create large amounts of available light codes and frequencies to heal and rebalance these lines. So we have a group that goes in and rebalances these ley lines. Like I've talked about when I was at Mount St. Michel, and I was there last summer, and I put my hands on the stones of Mount St. Michel. And the energy was so negative. Like, I can't believe this is such a negative energy in here. And I have a family member that
it's
is as sensitive as I am.
It's a church, right? It's a chapel or a church.
Mount St. Michel. No, Mount St. Michel is the whole, you know, if you look at it, it's in France. It's up in Normandy. And it's this giant church that's built on this huge rock. And the energy in there was absolutely appalling. And I'm like, this isn't possible. So
right.
With the group, we went in, and it's on a major ley line. And we went into work. And I had gone back 3 months later because by accident, it wasn't like I was supposed to go back, but a cousin came and we went up. And we'd gotten to the energy to be neutral. We hadn't gotten it to be positive. It wasn't negative. But, you know, the church is built on these stones, and you can feel these big stones as you're going throughout the church and all around. So we got the energy to be neutral. Now, this church is connected to a church in France named Mount Saint Odile, and it all kind of goes up to, I guess, Glastonbury. So that's all that ley line there, you know, and these things can be compromised. So, this is the type of work, and I guess, you know, I think I fall into several, well, I think we both fall into several indigo types, but we're able to work with this type of energy.
Yeah.
So these, and because these indigos are traveling, I mean, because these indigos are have these codexes, a lot of them will be left to travel extensively and find themselves in many countries or spaces for a short period of time because they're dropping these codes down. I have a friend of mine named Wendy, and hopefully, Wendy, you're listening from Australia. As soon as I heard this, I thought of you. Wendy is a incarnated angel. I hope she's smiling right now. Anyway, this occurs naturally. This traveling for this type of indigo will occur naturally as it's in the soul contract, and as they become more clear and clearer and align themselves to their higher purpose, they will do more traveling and they will drop down, you know, these codexes. Many indigos have contracts with certain land demographics and are holding specific codes for the planet precisely for this time of ascension for its frequency activation. All right. Now I'm taking this right from the ascension thing. Okay. If there's trademarked in it, I'm copyrighted. I'm sorry, but I know people won't go and read this, so I'm trying to, you know, give it to them. These codes.
It's called the ascension glossary. It's called the ascension glossary, though, if people want to go look.
Right. Right. These codes are transmitted from the indigo's personal energy field, and are anchored into the appropriate area where they have been called upon to be of service. So sometimes you're not even sure that you're an indigo or not. But just by going to these places, you're dropping these codes down. Sometimes indigos may be fully conscious of this process or not. If you find yourself traveling to many different places on the planet this year and forward, you have this type of contract, all right? And your higher self will be working on those projects even as you sleep. They say if you resonate with this, ask to be directed by your evolution team and that you wish to be interactive in working with planetary energies consciously. All right? So they said further on, this group will be largely responsible for working with new frequency hubs in a variety of ways, particularly in coming together to build and create conscious or intentional communities of indigos and all multidimensional beings stationed in various energies of the planets. These new communities will be a wellspring of new education and awareness, creating integrative, sustainable living in communities that live in harmony with nature. Did you get that? So they will be creating these communities, and they won't be subject to the 3D world because they'll be of such a high vibration. You know, anything that happens in the 3D world, they won't be subject to it. Other communities that will come together will be cosmic stations for our interstellar connections and will begin a new portal communication with our extended star families. So,
which is already happening now.
And also, you know, the indigos have to communicate. They have to meditate. They have to get in contact with their higher self, you know, because they will be able to, they will be led to do certain things. And this is this first type of indigo. You know, if you do meditate, you can connect with your higher self. You will be guided in areas, you'll be guided away from areas that they're going to be any climate shifts or you know, big problems. So listen to your intuitive self and sees where it takes you. I mean, you might, you know, be guided to move to Canada or move here and move there. Well, if you have the money and you can do it, do it. You know? And if it's supposed to happen, believe me, it'll happen quickly.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say about this?
Well, I just wanted to talk about a couple things.
Go ahead.
I don't know if they traverse or Yeah. Okay. Number one, I want to bring up a movie that came out a long time ago. I mean, I'm talking 20 years ago. And it was James Twyman, Neil Donald Walsh, and Doreen Virtue made this movie. And it was all about the Indigos.
Really?
Yes. And I had it at one point, and I lent it to somebody, but it's out there, probably on the internet if you want to do a search. But it's a DVD, and it was, I went out and bought the movie, and I went, oh my God, that's me. Most of the Indigos are born into dysfunctional families because we're also the, quote, healers, right? So the healers are born into the dysfunctional families. So it's kind of like you're doing multiple things. You're doing also like the Tree of Life healer soul mission as well. A lot of us took that on. So you're doing that, and then a lot of Indigos have these amazing abilities, third eye abilities. So in the movie, the little girl sees energy, you know, she's playing with the little boy and they're drawing these amazing, like, sacred geometry pictures and all this stuff because she is totally in tune with the universe, this little girl. So she's kind of like a precog. She's kind of like an idiot. What do they call those? Savants. I don't like the word idiot.
Okay.
I hate that word.
Yeah, it's she's really intelligent, genius, super genius.
Very intelligent. A lot of Indigos are very intelligent, very have high IQs. And that's because a lot of us are in the computer industry, scientific stuff, all that kind of thing. And so anyway, I do encourage you to watch that movie if you can find it on Amazon. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the famous Indigos. A couple of them are Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And these are what's called the Scouts. And Grace referred to this earlier. The Scouts were kind of like the strongest Indigos that came in to hold the energy in the very beginning. Joan of Arc was an Indigo. Abraham Lincoln, the founding fathers of America were Indigos, they said. Martin Luther King Jr. was an Indigo. John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. I think that's why they killed them. You know, do you see a pattern here? You know, the Indigos represented the new earth and how they wanted things to be different, and people didn't like it. So they killed them a lot. They killed the Indigos. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, there's way too many of us and they can't take us all out. Although they've taken out a few here and there. Phil Schneider was an Indigo. He was a whistleblower against about the alien stuff that was going on at Dulce, if you want to search on Phil Schneider. But again, the Indigos are the whistleblowers, the truth tellers. I wouldn't be surprised if in our lifetimes we find out what's really under the Vatican because an Indigo gets in there and tells everybody what's under the Vatican and what's in the National Library that they're not telling us, and the Smithsonian they're not telling us, and who knows what other museums they're holding back, right?
Yes. Okay, so let's go on to Indigo 2. Now, this one I resonate more with. Okay, they're specifically working to regenerate and activate the human DNA template to its highest potential. You know, these are energy and healer transmitters working directly with the healing arts in some way. Each one has a specific gift of healing tools, light codes, to assist humans in healing distortions that are embedded within their physical and energetic bodies. These distortions have been created and inherited from karmic patterning resulting from the incarnating evolution cycles, you're incarnating. And also at this time of acceleration, it is required for some humans undergoing the ascension process to be assisted with a etheric surgery. Now, the etheric surgery, you know, you have different layers, right? You've got your, you know, you have your first chakra, your second chakra, your third chakra, your fourth chakra. And, like, the physical, the first one is the closest to you. If you've done any work with Barbara Ann Brennan at all, she's been there forever. You just have to open her book and look at the pictures. And then the second chakra, you know, overlays that one and goes out a little further. And you have, you know, more than seven, whatever. Well, sometimes the energy can get blocked in those chakras because you're going up, you're ascending up, and the energy just doesn't filter down the way it's supposed to. So it said, etheric surgery is an etheric term for a new group of facilitators emerging to work on the multidimensional anatomy by supporting the nadi systems or the other layers of the auric field. Okay, so they're going to upgrade your nadi systems in your auric field. And there's a lot of people doing this work right now. The nadi system is the electrical neural plexus that receives and transmits the new frequencies being absorbed into the entire individual energy matrix and the cellular body. It acts as an energy switchboard for the entire energy biofield. So these things need to be upgraded. The nodial system is located at the etheric template layer of the energy bodies and may need to be upgraded in order to be calibrated easily to the new energies introduced to the personal field. This rewiring occurs to hold the new resonant frequencies in the individual's bodies with minimum discomfort. And if anybody has done any energy work at all, you know it takes a couple days. If you're receiving initiations and things like that, sometimes your body's not ready to take it. It's like, you know, there could be kind of green nausea running to the bathroom and things like that. So your energy field has to be upgraded. It says this will be a new career as one of the many new healing modalities surfacing at this time. Many of these indigos are teachers of the new energy and will emerge to discuss openly about the ascension process and its meaning for the evolution of the human species. Some will be recreated to create wellness centers, will be recruited to create wellness centers with holistic healing technologies based on spiritual and energetic principles. These groups are the bridge between the old energy world and the new energy world. These are the way showers for embodying the principle of unification and integration as an example of how to live in harmony in all things. I've seen this in a lot of different energy things, like, you know, Seraphim Blueprint, Integrative Energy Therapy. There's a new one by Cassandra Greer called the Soul Code Method, and she's really interested in working with the nadis and that. So her energy, she does a lot of light work, Reiki and these kind of things. So I think that's all comprised in that system. Do you have any other one, anything else to add?
Let's see, as far as, like, what modalities we use.
Yeah, do you know of any other modalities? Oh, Theta Healing. I'm sorry, I forgot the Theta Healing System. There's a lot of different systems that right now to get the human body up and ready to receive these energies.
IET, Integrated.
IET. Energy Therapy. Yeah, IET, I added that, yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's all right.
I think that's, another one. I've got some friends in Ireland who are into indigos. They do the Archangel Metatron healing modalities. And that's from somebody in New York. I forget what her name is.
Okay. All right. And, there's that group that's working in now as being healers. And the thing of it is that, like, you know, I wanted to be a doctor as a kid. I mean, I really wanted to be a doctor, and it just didn't work out that way. And I always had that wanting and needing to heal. And you can imagine growing up not being able to sit still because I wanted and needed to heal, and there was no place for me to do it. So when Reiki came by, then that was the first thing for me. And then it just gradually came on. And I do body code and emotion code, which I love. Well, that was it for me when I found body code and emotion code. And then I'm learning the so-called method code right now. But you know, some of these kids I see, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I found this when I was, like, in my 50s. So suppose the method you're learning isn't going to be around until you're in your 50s. I mean, you know, imagine how difficult it is to hang on until then. You know, you have to always have faith, and you have to understand that it will come. It just keep the hope, keep the faith until it does show up. Now I don't have that feeling of, you know, attention deficit. I can follow a conversation. I can sit still because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
can I share a story about being a child? You'll find this interesting. So here I am. I'm a child born in 1969 during the Vietnam War, of all things, right? So I come into the planet when there's a horrible war going on. And I remember just, you know, black and white TV then and how traumatized I was just having this energy around, you know, of war and death and all that. So basically, you know, there wasn't a lot of TV back then, and there wasn't a lot of magazines. I mean, there just wasn't like it is today. It was just totally different. And my parents used to get National Geographic magazine. And there was a magazine volume that talked about the whales, the humpback whales. And I just thought that was fascinating as a kid. Now, I'm probably like 7 years old at this point. And I had my little record player, and there was a plastic record in the magazine of the whale singing. And I remember taking that plastic little thing and putting it on my record player and listening to that thing for hours on end. The whale songs. Little did I know what I was really doing. I mean, I was bringing healing to that, to myself and to my household through the healing of the whale songs. I didn't know that then, but that was just like a natural thing for me to do. And, you know, that's how indigos are. We're it's almost like we're wired differently, and we know that something is off, but we just don't know what it is. Do you know what I'm saying?
We know we're not like everybody else. I mean, you know, we're going to find us up in the trees. You're going to find us playing with rocks. You know, you're not going to find us doing what everybody else is doing. And people are going to look at us strangely, and we're going to work at them strangely going, but don't you see those little fairies? But don't you see this? Or, you know, why are you watching that or this kind of thing? You know, you know, and it's very difficult to find friends and things like that. Now it's much easier.
Yeah.
A bunch of indigos get together. But, you know, now it's so much easier. Yeah. But, you know, I've seen, and also the thing about indigos is because of the attention deficit, a lot of the parents mistakenly put them on Ritalin, you know, thinking, well, that'll calm them down enough to be able to can exist in this world. The problem with Ritalin is that the body gets used to things in about 3 months. You know, I'm not sure it works that well. Oh, yeah, and I've seen these things that say the French don't have attention deficit problems. I'm here to tell you people, you're all wrong. I work with kids, you're wrong. They do have the problems with attention deficit. We do have indigo kids here. I've seen them. I see a lot of them. And so, you know, the parents, you know, and there is Ritalin that's given out here too. So the parents are trying to get them into this paradigm here by dimming their dulling their sensitivities because it doesn't fit with what the world we have going on now. And that's a huge mistake. I mean, I know of a close, you know, somebody in the neighborhood who is amazing with animals, you know, rocks, has this sensitivity, but was having a hard time making it in school. And, you know, the parents went ahead and, you know, got the prescription, and there they went. And a lot of I know of indigos that, you know, say they're taking it, but they're not. They're not taking it, you know. Some of them are selling it. I've heard of that, too. They're selling it. They're going out and making extra money. Great. So, no, don't do that. I mean, don't, you know, if you can deal with it another way. See, you need the time, and you need to step back and look and say, what is important? What is important here? Is it important that my kid gets rushed through school, has this, has that, blah, 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 and then, you know, later has a breakdown because they're not on the path that they're supposed to be? I don't know. I don't know what's the right answer here. I don't. I don't understand. I mean, I know what my answer is, but I'm not judging anybody that has to do that, you know. So third type, and this is the third type of indigo, the polarity integrators. These, they have shared soul essences. That means they have more than one soul. And these groups of indigos have a very challenging, they have a very challenging time of it because they're bringing a gift of humanity. What they're doing is they're actually, what's being combined in their body is a lesser soul and a more advanced soul. And they're trying to, and these two, and the more advanced soul is trying to bring the lesser soul up. All right? So they are, sorry. And they are trying to integrate.
Can I just
two.
Say one thing here?
Go
I
ahead.
Just say one thing? We might want to concept of multiple souls because I don't know that everyone understands that.
Yeah, okay, multiple souls. This is not a walk-in, by the way, people. Walk-in is something else. Multiple souls that walk-in is something else. A multiple soul is a person, you're born with a soul, and throughout your life there's other souls that come in to help out this soul. It's Ruth Rendley. It's called Multiple Souls of the Book, all right? Most humans incarnate at the 6th to 8th dimensional soul. And they might be different, like your soul might come in as a priest. You might have an 8th dimensional priest soul that comes in. And then later on, when you're in a teenager, a warrior soul that comes in, a 10th dimensional or 9th dimensional. A 10th dimensional soul might come in later. Or what happens, too, is sometimes these teenagers, all of a sudden you see teenagers that get into trouble and things like that. There, anything that is from a 4th dimensional soul down, this is when the trouble starts. These teenagers, you know, you see a family and they go, I don't know what happened to my kid. He became a teenager and all of a sudden he's in trouble with the law. He's, you know, doing this and doing that. And then they end up in jail. The 4th dimensional souls and down have no conscience. And so if that soul attaches onto the person, then the other souls either are trying to get rid of it or they have to deal with it. There are people that are able to release these 4th dimensional souls or 3rd dimensional souls, and the kid goes back to and the kid goes back to normal. Lots of times, you may be born with Robin Williams, for instance. It's in the book. It's in Ruth Rendley's, I think, multiple soul book. I think that is that Robin Williams was born with 4 souls, and there was one that was depressive. And the soul, the dominant soul may be able to lead the other souls, or they may take turns. And it was said that he lost his life because, you know, I don't really know the circumstances behind it, when the depressive soul was in the seat. You know, all of a sudden the person changes and things like that.
I think he hung himself in his closet.
And so that was a case of the depressive soul taking place, and then the depressive soul might leave just like that. So I'll use my own example here because there's a couple people that I know that do this work, and if you need if you want somebody checked out for multiple souls, please contact us on Unseen Realms, and we will get you to the proper channels. Especially if you're worried about your teenage child or things like that, we'll make sure you get in contact with the people that can help you out. My own example is I was born an 8th dimensional soul, okay? And I can distinctly remember this. I kind of like to stay home and watch TV and stuff like that. I don't know if I was very adventurous and I used to climb trees. But when I was 13, I remember I started to get, you know, like kind of militant. You know, like things in the world start to bother me and things like that. Well, I came in with a 9th dimensional warrior soul. 9th dimensional warrior soul that, you know, I remember I like right then and there I started playing tennis when I was 14. And I played a lot of it. I was like a training almost. And then at age 43, a 10th dimensional soul came in. So I have 3 souls, an 8, 9, and 10 dimensional soul. Some people, and now it could happen that one soul wants to leave and they don't know how to leave. That's kind of when people get sick sometimes and they don't know why they get sick. And maybe it's one of the souls that want to leave. They're really unhappy. And one of these souls wants to leave. So you might not always have all of these souls. You might start out with, you know, one and go up to four, or you might end up losing a couple along the way. So that's what happens. So so in this case, a lot of these kids that are having ADD or having Asperger's syndrome and things like that, well, you know, or, you know, what happens is the higher soul, there's a higher soul and a lower soul in the same body, and the higher soul is there trying to help evolve the lower soul. And I'm not talking fourth dimensional, I'm talking higher up, sixth and up. And that causes problems in the hormonal system. And then there's a lot of information that they have coming in. Like, suppose the higher soul is getting a lot of information and kind of flooding the body out. So then you end up having attention deficit, or you end up having, you know, autism and stuff like that. That's the way I understood it from what it was, how it was written.
Yes. So basically, the people with Asperger's, autism, ADHD, stuff like that, they're just processing information differently.
Right, and they might be running into the two souls.
Negative, but it's really not. Just like people perceive Down syndrome children as being negative, which honestly, they're the sweetest, unconditionally loving children on the planet, are Down syndrome. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I know. They're very, very advanced. Very advanced and very loving. Have you ever seen those videos where they're like racing and one falls down, one kid falls down, everybody goes back and gets them and helps them race into the end? Like, well, who's advanced, huh?
Yeah, who's advanced? Yeah.
Who's advanced? Here. I'm not thinking it's us. I'm thinking it's, you know. So the indigo is going to have a very it's hard for the parents too to watch this, to watch an indigo through life. And I suggest to parents, you know, read up about indigos. Read. I had a friend of mine, excuse me, I've got dry cough. Hold on. She said she went to therapy a lot to find out about her daughter. She said, oh, my God, do you know how many therapy sessions I've been? So we spent 10 minutes grabbing lunch for the first time. I told her about indigos, and she said, in 10 minutes you explained to me my daughter. She goes, I researched after that, and life has been so much easier because I realized it's not something I'm doing. I'm not raising her wrong, because she's got like an indigo, a crystal, and a star or a rainbow. I don't know. So, you know, the youngest one is totally zen. You know, then you have the crystal that they're kind of, you know, they're zen too, but they kind of forgetful, huh? They manifest very easily. And then you've got the indigo that's just not, you know, happy and not satisfied with the world and is constantly rebelling. You know, I'm going to make a comment to the indigos. Don't rebel against everybody. You know, your parents are actually there to help you. You know, try to figure out what you're rebelling against and channel your energy that way. Do you want to open the records for the indigos? Because I pulled I have Akashic Records tarot cards, and it came out attached to Akashic Library. Do you want to open the records for the indigos? Would you be up for that?
Sure.
Okay.
And also, I just wanted to mention, if you look back January 14th of 2011, Doreen Virtue has four videos out there on it's called The Indigo Revolution. And I would highly recommend watching that. Yeah. Back
where
when she was on our side.
Do you have the date? Not our side. Don't make me act like Jeff Dunham talking to Peanut. Huh? What is the date of those videos?
It's, let's see, May 17th, 2009.
May 17th, 2009.
Indigo Revolution, yeah.
Look, if I'm doing what I do right now, I have that woman to thank, huh?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I have to tell a story. I have to tell a story while we're
like
here.
It just looks like a totally different person. She has blonde hair and she's got purple and goddessy jewelry on.
Yeah, okay. We might be talking about multiple souls here. my son was younger and we had he was going through that whole Asperger's thing and everything like that. So every so often I'd get weekends out because between the therapy appointments and everything, you know, you just get immersed into it. People talk to you and the only thing I could talk about was him. You know, anyway, I was going through and I saw that Charles Virtue was in Munich. You know, I heard he was teaching his angel certification course. And little voice said to me, "You've got to take that course. You've got to take it." And I thought, okay, I've got to take it. So I went down, I checked with my husband. I said, "Can I take this course?" Because it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Munich at the Science Center. And it was through the RAGE, RAGE. And he said, "Yeah, you can go ahead and take the course." And it was in Germany. And I was like, okay. So I live around Paris and all that stuff. So then they said, I had a German friend at the time. They said, contact her. And I thought, well, I don't want her to take the course because she thinks I want her there so she can translate for me. That's not right. But they said, no, she won't bother with you. So go ahead, you know, get the course. So I was like, oh, this is great. So I go. And then they said, go to this place. I think it was Hotel Monaco. I don't know if it's still in. I don't know it's still in. And I'm looking on the map, and I'm kind of looking up at my spiritual team or wherever they are because they're whispering in my ear. And I'm going, do you see how far Hotel Monaco is away from the Science Museum? And they're going, no, take it. So I book Hotel Monaco on, bookings.com. And I took the train, and I was up all night in the train, you know, getting to Munich and stuff like that. Beautiful town, by the way, gorgeous town. Went across, and it was kind of if you're going out the train station, if you look over to kind of the right hand, not I would say about 2 o'clock, it was kind of in that area there, and I found it, and it was kind of a little bit red light district kind of thing, you know, it was kind of like sex shops and things like that. I seem to remember, maybe it was just I had been, you know, sleep deprived, and it was on the 5th, 6th, 7th, floor of this hotel, of this building. So I went up, and the entire hotel was decorated in angels. I mean, there was about 100 angel pictures going up the steps, up to the wall, to the reception area. Now, not by the name Monaco, I would never have understood that this was, you know, that there was so much angelic energy there. There was angels in the reception area. They let me eat. I got in at around 10. I said, I haven't had breakfast. They said, we haven't cleared yet, so go in and have breakfast. There was, you know, in the area where you have breakfast, there was angels there. In my room, there was angels there. So I walked down, and I walked down to the Science Museum. And I'm in the science, because I remember asking Raga, I said, so when I take this class, am I going to see signs for the angel class, or are these going to be real signs or angel signs? And they're going, real signs. Yeah, no. So I'm looking at the Science Museum. It's huge. So I went to the left-hand side, and I could feel them kind of, you know, and I went around the back, and out the back door, out of the service area where the kitchen was, out walks Charles Virtue. I'm like, angel classes? Because I've never seen him before. And he's like, hi, I'm Charles Virtue. And I was like, oh, my God, I love your mother. Like a real groupie, right? Not, hi, how are you? So he couldn't find the class either. I mean, he went through the kitchen and came out the back. So I was like, okay, I think, because I'm really good at this. This is one of my gifts. I'm really good at finding people or finding where I need to be. I don't always know when I need to be there, but I can find my way there. So I'm like, okay, I think we go this way. I think we go that way. I think we go this way. And I made my way to the angel class. So I was pretty excited about that. And the whole week was the whole entire 4 days went like that. I mean, it was just like one synchronistic event after another one. All the way to getting home, it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my story. So anyway, hey, do you want to open the records for the Indigos? Please.
Yeah, they're open now.
Oh, I'm sorry. While I was going, you're open records. We will.
Okay.
this brief intermission while we digress to a time long ago. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, so it's not a, it's not sort of surprising that Jesus came through as basically being like the master indigo here. But they just directed me to a website. It says 13 common traits of an indigo child. And these are the, they just sent me here. So from a claircognizant standpoint, if you wonder if you might be of this distinct soul lineage, here are a few traits which may feel familiar. Number one, you feel entitled. You were born feeling special and know it. Two, you're destined to be here. You're confident and even arrogant at times and emboldened by something larger than you can name. Number three, you have high expectations of yourself and others. This can make for challenging relationships. Number four, you're very perceptive. Indigo see the world differently. You often think your way is right and people can't see it and you don't understand why. Oh my gosh, story of my life, right? You question authority. So again, the children that are, quote, rebels, it's because they're here saying, well, I don't agree that you shouldn't be able to go to the bathroom if you have to go to the bathroom during school, right? I used to get that problem a lot. You know, I would have to go to the bathroom in the middle of class, and they'd be like, you can't go to the bathroom. You have to wait till the break to go to the bathroom. I'm like, so you're telling me I have to sit here for 30 minutes? And one time I peed my pants in school because they wouldn't let me go to the bathroom. I thought that was unbelievable. Let's see. You question authority. You want to overturn the man. Difficult and rigid systems seem foolish to you, and you often become antagonistic. Number seven, you're highly creative. You are a change maker. And this one was me for a while. You are a lost soul. And I think a lot of indigos experience this until they find other indigos. And
right.
Once you find your tribe, I think you end up flourishing. But boy, when you don't know you're an indigo and you don't have any indigos, it can be very lonely out there. I remember feeling that way. And painful. Yeah. Next one, you're very driven. As the indigo soul mission is encoded into your very being, you are unwilling to back down from confronting, which feels out of integrity. Number 11, you're passionate and focused. You are not to be still or silenced. Number 12, you're highly psychic. Your psychic ability is finely tuned. You can see through the mask and you can read others easily. And number 13, you get frustrated. Coupled with their big picture vision and restless soul drive for change, you become easily frustrated with society and others who are not shifting quickly enough. Oh my gosh, that is so me. Patience.
Yeah, we've
is something
had a lot of conversations.
Yeah, yeah. Now, challenges. You know, challenges are that we have to feel like we're making a difference because we came to Earth with this high soul mission. If we're not doing something to further it, we can get very depressed. And it says, it talks about depression. And one of the most blessed attributes of the indigo is their integrity. They carry it within and can sense when others are dishonest.
And that's when you should, you need to talk about, you know, Archangel Michael is the head of the indigos.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk to Archangel Michael to help you with your indigo mission. Archangel Nathaniel will help you manifest. Archangel Metatron, he's just cool. So you can ask, talk to the angels to help you. And if you're a parent of an indigo, please start looking into angels and start reading what you can about indigos and asking Mother Mary and Jesus to help you to guide this indigo. Because I'm sure there's a lot of indigos that have forced us as parents to look for alternative methods. Like, I think, like, emotional freedom technique or EMDR or things like that would probably help. I think EFT would help for depression or the lack of confidence, lack of self-confidence or lack of self-esteem that a lot of indigos have. But look at those, you know, look at the alternatives before turning to drugs to dull the senses. I think looking at the alternatives and getting them to understand that they are an indigo, getting them to actually understand it. Like, you know, if your kid comes to you and says, I see something, you know, don't brush it off. Just say, okay, you know, well, can you elaborate on this? Can we talk about it and all that stuff? Because a lot of indigos will end up going into drugs, or not a lot, but some do, or alcohol, because they feel like they're seeing things and nobody else is seeing it, and they're scared. They're absolutely scared. They're scared that if they go to their parents and they say this, that their parents are going to have them locked away or put on drugs, you know? And no, that's just being there to open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep, and I think, well, I'll just say this. I have a client who is an indigo. She is part of, there's a band of angels called the Mercy Band of Angels associated with Archangel Michael. She's an incarnated angel.
Band of Mercy.
She is also an indigo, and she has, over the years, told people in her family when she's experiencing something, and they have literally put her in a psychiatric institution. And
right.
She goes in and out of it. And I have told her this many times. I tell her, I'm like, just don't tell them. Why are you telling them? Just don't tell them. I mean, that's something that indigos learn, I think, is to just try to find someone that understands, because they're experiencing the same thing, whether you see angels or see spirits or see ghosts or see fairies, whatever, like I do. I just don't tell people anymore unless they get it. I don't talk about
it. Right.
Because honestly, I don't know that anyone is going to be like us, and maybe they won't see it, Grace. I mean, I've come to that point too. I've talked to a lot of
people that have seen it, or they'll say, you know, they'll talk about an incident, or they'll talk about hearing things, or they'll talk about, they'll talk about, you know, seeing their grandmother, or talk about this or that. And I think it's becoming more open with more indigos coming into the world now. Like, you know, the educational system has to change. You know that.
Right.
You know, we have to start doing things differently. And the indigos are going to get us there. I mean, they're absolutely going to get us to that point of having to do things. And they're paving the way for the crystals, the crystal children coming in. You know, the indigos are going to do the breaking down the structures, and the crystals will come in next. Or they are in, but they're not, you know, in yet.
Yeah, they're still younger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still younger. 1999 was a year for a lot of crystals. Tell you, a lot of crystals came in 99, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else for the records for the indigos?
Not really, other than, I'll just say the Rainbow Warriors, which also the indigos are associated with, are being activated now. So we've got a huge movement that's happening on the planet, like, as we speak. And I think we're going to see more and more changes happening as these light beings get fully integrated into the planet. And because I'll tell you, there's a lot of injustices on this planet, especially when it comes to the environment. And Mother Earth cannot continue to sustain at the rate that we're going now with the environment, with the trash and the fracking and pollution and all those sorts of things. So
I know. Is there really any callers?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay. Well, so we haven't had any callers tonight?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I guess it's a quiet night.
Yeah. I think I intended that on some level, but.
Yeah, yes, I guess you did. It's been, you know, yeah. Well, do you want to close records for the Indigos then?
Yes, let's close the records. I'd like to thank the Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones for the love, honor, and compassion, Lords of the Akashic Records for the point of view, and all the spirit and life.
Well, going to the point that we've probably finished this Indigo discussion, do you want to talk a little bit about the work you've been doing?
Well, I don't want to go into it too detailed yet, but I will just say that that the Earth is changing rapidly, and energies that haven't been on the planet for a very long time are now coming into the planet. So for new people that are listening to our show, you know, it is kind of a wild ride, and it will be for the next 2 years is what they're saying. So, and this is not just because energy is coming in. It's because physically we're making changes. The grid keepers and the gatekeepers are making changes to the infrastructure.
Right.
So that's really what's happening. The guardians of Gaia are making changes to the infrastructure. And that's enabling this energy to be able to come in now. Because Earth was in a quarantine state for a while. A very long time, actually.
Yeah, it was considered what, the lowest energy in the out of all of the out of everywhere in the world. I mean, out of everywhere in the galaxy and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why there's so many of us here now to try to change it, shift it.
Yeah, a lot of us are coming
Gaia,
back.
Gaia called out. Gaia calls out for help too. I mean,
yeah,
help me.
Yeah, I know, and but I was told that I was like, you know, I was on the, I was like not on the earth for 1,000 years. I'm sure they had to like pull me back, kicking and screaming. You need to go. No.
Get back down here. And what did you say?
We need you.
I'm going back to the pizza.
It better be very good. I really got this thing under control now. Pizza better be great if I'm going back.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, that's all.
Anyway, so is that it? Right?
Yep, that's it, my friend.
All right. We love you all. If any people on the are listening again, if you, you know, listening, we love you all. And God bless. Good night.
God bless. Take care. Bye.
Take care. Good night.